Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
And of course, you can bring up absolutely anything. That is the point of the show. Coming up, Nikki, you have a story. We're going to get into it, I think, pretty soon here, about a family's home that was raided, not over drug possession, not over illegal guns, not because somebody was being held captive or murdered or something vicious like that. No, their family's home was raided because of an unlicensed ear piercing.
Wow.
Yep.
And it's even worse than that. It's an unlicensed ear piercing on their own family member.
So on their own property?
On their own, I presume.
I'm assuming, yeah. I'm assuming the ears were pierced in the house.
Yes, but we'll get into it. How they found out about this, how the I don't know any of the details, but we're going to learn about it.
What's myself.
That? I've done it, too. I've pierced my like friends' ears before.
I hope the Massachusetts Department of Ear Piercing isn't listening right now, or maybe, hopefully, the statute of limitations has passed on that admission of a crime.
Is it okay if it's your own ears?
I don't know. I mean, if it's not, if you can't pierce your own son's ears or your own daughter's ears, then they'll probably tell you you can't do your own ears. But we're going to continue. We'll get into that. Also, Bonnie, you wanted to talk about this DeSantis guy down in Florida who so many people seem to think is just such a freedom fighter. And it's
yeah,
like,
prisoner from Guantanamo Bay thinks differently.
Yeah, you don't have to dig very deep to find out this guy is just a neoconservative arch police statist. And you got another example of that. But for right now, we're actually going to go to the phones, kind of. We got our very own Mark Edge on the line. He had something to talk about here tonight to start things out. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I brought it in for yesterday, and I really did want to talk about it. The question is Florida part of the South? And I think that people have all developed some kind of opinion on this or not. And I first wanted to ask everybody who's sitting there, is Florida part of the South?
No.
Yeah, I would say no. Like, technically, yes, but not culturally.
What do you think, Ian?
Well, Mark already knows what my answer is, although the listeners may not. The answer is both yes and no. It depends on what part of Florida we're talking about. Yes, geographically, Florida is the South. However, good chunks of it, mostly the coastline areas, are populated mostly by Northerners.
That's true.
I don't know if it's mostly, but it's significantly by Northerners. People from, I believe it is New York and, like, Wisconsin. A lot of those kind of people come down to Florida retire.
I'm not usually talking about the Panhandle. I haven't spent very much time in Florida at all, but the Panhandle, from what I've seen, does kind of remind me of, like, a East Louisiana. So maybe I could say, like, the Panhandle.
Yeah, I remember, Mark, you used to talk about going to...
I think this question has already been settled, and Mark knows why. I sent him a picture of biscuits and gravy the other day, and he thought it was S on a shingle.
Come on, he's joking with you.
No, he was
it's
serious.
The truth.
What?
No. Absolutely. So I was taught that, you know, that gravy and sausage was called S on a shingle. I admit, I was raised by Yankees, just like you were too, right? So I'm willing to say, I'm willing to have a conversation about what am I if I am not Southern, because I think that a person, it's commented upon a person who claims you're not Southern, you're from Florida. Well, what am I?
You're a honky. You're a honky.
Okay, I'm a honky, Frank.
See, Mark says Yankee. Yesterday, Nikki said it was funny that I kept saying Yankee, and then I started feeling like, I don't know, is that insulting? I didn't mean it.
I don't know. It's just funny to me because obviously I'm born and raised in New England, and we do not use the phrase Yankee because we are Yankees.
Right.
So why would we use it if it's just like, you know, who
we are?
Well,
they're a sports team, so now that I think about it,
yeah,
it shouldn't be offensive. But when my grandpa says it, I think he means it offensive.
Does the
I don't get offended by it, but I don't get offended by much.
Do people in the North have a term for people in the South that is kind of degrading?
Not really. I mean, not really. I mean, we wouldn't call them, like, Confederates or anything like that, right? Because isn't that the opposite of a Yankee would be a...
No, well, a Yankee is...
This is what's really important about this, Nikki, is that no one claims to be a Yankee. But many people claim to be Southerners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
And this is kind of an interesting thing, right? Like, who won the war? You'd think everybody would want to identify as the organization that won, not the organization that lost.
It's not like the people in Massachusetts want to be Southerners, though. It's just the, you know, not the word. They probably
They're
want
just not
to
Yankees,
be
right?
Massachusetts people.
I think you would also be defined as a cracker.
Yeah, and that's what a person from Florida is.
Yep, the Florida cracker.
And I would say that you'd have a darn difficult time calling somebody who is a cracker not a Southerner. You know.
I thought crackers were only, like, the ones that first got there, something like that.
Oh, see, now you're not a cracker either, Ian. What are you? You're just some pale waif on the side of the road. See, like, this is the thing. When you pull somebody's card because they don't drink calorie-laden sweet tea, you know, then what do you do?
I think that definitely pulls your card. I'm sorry.
Well, I got to say.
I don't drink sweet tea?
Yes.
Does
everybody from the South have to have diabetes?
Yes.
Okay. I did live west of the interstate, so when you're living on the west coast of Florida, at least where Mark and I grew up, the interstate is kind of the dividing line between where it becomes more southern and where it is more urban, more kind of mixed from all sorts of people who've come to retire. Because people that come to retire in Florida, they generally gravitate towards the coastlines. That's mm-hmm. that's where they want to live. That's the nice parts. It's not the swamp. It's not the obvious swamp. Like, all of Florida is a swamp. It, you know, a lot of it was underwater for a time. You don't have to dig down. Like, anywhere you are in Florida, if you're not on a hill, and there aren't very many where Mark and I grew up.
I set up a sprinkler with 7 feet of depth.
If you did, if you dug 3 feet down in my front yard, you'd hit water.
Wow, it's literally, that's so weird.
You're literally in a swamp.
But well, how come it has flooding?
I think that this is also an interesting point, Bonnie, is that I'm from east of the interstate, and Ian's from west of the interstate.
Just barely, though.
You're from just barely west?
Just barely. I mean, literally, you can see the interstate from
you
my
went
house.
To Pineview School.
Did your parents drink sweet tea?
Mine never did, no.
No, what about
my next-door neighbors did, because you had to have something to cover the taste of the sulfur water, and we had all well water out where I was. But I just didn't drink water, I drank Pepsi, you know, when I was growing up. And we always thought things about people from his side of the interstate, and they always called people like us rednecks. So, you know, there is a difference in our small area. Go ahead. What's that?
Oh, I said, did you, Ian? Did you call them rednecks?
No. No, I wouldn't have done that.
Then you say Braden Tucky.
Well, that's a different thing.
We just do that in jest. It's fine. And it's true. It is in jest. It's absolutely in jest. I'm from Braden Tucky. Ian's from Sarasota. And...
Bradenton's sort of known as a lower rent next door neighbor to Sarasota.
Yeah. I mean, it's Sarasota's ugly little stepsister.
Now it is. It's the city to the north, by the way. It's Bradenton's between Sarasota and Tampa. Everybody knows where Tampa is. Sarasota's two cities down, basically.
Yeah, it's home of Tropicana orange juice, I think is probably the
yes,
way to
and you
it.
Can
wow.
smell it, too. If
does
the winds
good?
Blow the. Ooh, no, it does not.
Oh,
it smells like
no.
cooking oranges.
Yeah, the peels are burnt.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite unpleasant. You don't want to live nearby.
Yeah. So I've read an article. You don't have to read it. I'm not going to read it here or anything. It's from TheRinger.com by a guy named Kevin Clark. And I think that he came to the conclusion that you came to, Bonnie, off air. And that conclusion is that there's something called the South and there's something called the Deep South.
Right.
And that Florida is part of the South. at least most of it. But it's not part of the deep south. So that's what I would say, is that I would consider somebody from Maryland southern. I would consider somebody from Kentucky or Tennessee southern. There's plenty of places that I would consider to be southern. In fact, you know, country music has been number one in New York City. And I think that, you know, there need to be some criteria for sort of what is southern and what isn't. And as far as I can tell, some people in Florida fit that criteria and some don't.
There you go.
You don't, Mark. I'll just say you don't.
Is it because I don't have an accent?
No, it's because
I think that's what it is.
It's 100%.
I think it's an accent.
Because of the accent is odd. I hadn't really thought much about the fact that you guys don't have an accent. But I don't have an accent, but I moved around a lot and lived on military bases. But the question was solved when you didn't know what a picture of biscuits and gravy was.
Man, I think I would have known what biscuits and gravy was if you'd have shown me. Like, if I hadn't been eating it recently with you or whatever, I think if you'd shown me a picture,
I knew it was biscuits and gravy. It's just that we called it SOS.
Oh,
okay.
I was misinformed on what SOS was.
Okay, well.
Because SOS is the thing. It's chipped beef.
It's not the same thing, though. It's not.
Nope.
I've never even heard of that before.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
I was ready to own you, Bonnie, and you were right. There's absolutely the truth is there was a difference, and I didn't realize it.
I think the problem there was that Mark went to prison because it sounds like prison food.
Well, that's what it was.
Even though you were growing up east of the interstate in Florida, did you ever drive a truck growing up?
Yeah, my dad gave me my second vehicle after my Volvo broke down that I had bought myself. My dad gave me an F-100 with three in the tree.
What's that mean, three in the tree?
Well, that we've just pulled his car, haven't we, Bonnie?
I don't know what that means.
Three in the tree is a manual shift with the shifter on the column rather than on the floor.
That's an American thing. Right?
I don't know where it's from.
I'm not a car person.
Yeah, so. I think it's an American thing to have the shifter on the steering column because I don't think you have it anywhere. Toyota pickup and the shifter came out the floor there.
Yeah, almost all shifters come out the floor on almost all manual tribes. That's why they have the specific three in the tree.
Wait, so this was a manual and it was on the column?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought only automatics did that. Because I've driven cars before where it was an automatic and it was on the column, but...
Right.
That's weird. How would that doesn't even make sense, because how does it go down to the transmission?
Look
that
it up on
like
YouTube.
A roundabout way, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems so much simpler to have it going through the floor, because the transmission
Well, you've got to try new things in order to have innovation. Some things work, some things don't.
Yeah, because do they still make that?
No.
That's not very common.
This is an innovation that did not work. This went out, there's no little wipers on headlights anymore either.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I remember that.
And there's no pop-up headlights either.
Yeah, well, pop-up
headlights
are gone.
They made that illegal, right?
They probably did, honestly. It's probably illegal to manufacture them nowadays.
Huh. All right, Mark, anything else?
That'll do it.
All right, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. That's Mark Edge calling from who knows where. And our phone number here for you, if you want to join us. Maybe you've got something to add into this question of what is a Southerner? How is it defined? Is it just based on where you were born, or does it have to do with the culture?
I mean, some people don't even know that most of people in what you would generally consider the South, like Alabama, they'll say that Texas isn't the South.
Alabamans will say Texas isn't the South.
Right, because it's not the deep South. It's like the Southwest.
It's so funny, because what is the deep South? Because to me, like, deep means
further in.
Further South.
And Texas goes further South than Alabama.
I think it's just a culture thing. I would say...
Yeah, like the dirty South, you know, like it seems like more of a cultural thing,
I guess.
Are
the northern Alabamans going to say they're more southern than the South Texans?
Yes.
Okay.
They're just misusing the definition.
They're
too dumb. They don't know how to read a map.
Ian, it's not about north or south, literally. It's about the South. It's about, Georgia, Alabama,
Mississippi. So you're saying South is a state of mind.
Louisiana.
It has nothing to do with geography.
It probably has something to do with geography, because, like, in between Louisiana and Texas, and most of East Texas, disgusting, unlivable, and somebody from there is going to be offended probably, but, what's the word, like, swamp and terribleness. It's like, not many people live there. Well, you go south enough, closer to the water, there's Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, I just think once you cross that border of East Texas, you're in a whole different place. Like, you're somewhere more like New Mexico than like Louisiana, even though you're probably closer.
How come New Mexico isn't the South? Why does that have to be the West? How come that's also
the Southwest?
Not the South?
It's not the South at
Southwest,
all.
Southwest, okay. So, Texas is kind of like a mixed bag, do you think?
But then again, like, Dallas is kind of more like the South. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, but, all right. I don't know, I often just think of, I say Texas and I'm really just thinking San Antonio, Austin.
If you want to open up your thoughts here, you can share them with us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
And you got to think about all the cultural stuff involved with the fact that Mexico used to own Texas and mm-hmm. it was its own country. And then it, you know, has a whole different history than the other parts of the South.
That's true. That's a good point. So I think we're going to one of those southern states, right, for the your story, Nikki? Isn't that where this...
Yeah, Arkansas.
Arkansas, where I've only driven through it one time. It was when Bonnie and I were driving up here in 2021. She made the move up here, and yeah, I don't ever want to go back. It's pretty
crummy. I've never been.
At least the places we went through were pretty cruddy looking.
It's just highway. It's like just trees.
Yeah, but all
sometimes it is difficult to judge a place just by driving through it on the highway, because
yeah,
it can be very different than, like, in New Hampshire, our highways are beautiful. You can totally understand New Hampshire from driving around the highways.
Maybe.
You know, there's, like, beautiful scenery. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, Route 9 specifically, which is a very gorgeous view.
That's
I haven't spent a lot of time in Arkansas. I'm just saying that it kind of doesn't strike me as anything.
It seems kind of run down to me, Bonnie. I mean, there was
it probably is.
There was a bunch of like billboards that you could tell used to be in operation.
Oh, I remember that. But it could
cruddy.
Have been COVID stuff too.
No, this stuff looked like it was down and out way before COVID. It looked like just like the
shells.
I remember
you making that comment. Now you say that.
Just burn out husks of billboards, not fire burned, but just like ugly.
The other thing is like Arkansas. And Tennessee, and well, Tennessee's like, I don't know if they're richer or what, but it's just like a step up from like mm-hmm. the other ones around it. But when you go through Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, you're going to see a million billboards about abortion. And
there was the Christ
yeah.
billboards. Just straight up like,
yeah.
give your life to Christ. Now.
I always laugh every time I go to visit my friends that live down in South Carolina, because there's these billboards on the side of the highway, like they do a lot down there. And one will say, repent, you know, go see Jesus, whatever. Yeah. And then on the opposite side of that is an advertisement for a strip club. So it's just very, yeah. like, ironic. It really shows you, like, the two sides yeah.
adult
of
super
the culture.
Store.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
like, really funny.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that. I think we stopped off to take a bathroom break in the place where Hillary Clinton was born, and it was impressive town.
No? Isn't it Bill? Wasn't it Bill Hope?
I don't remember. Okay, Hope. Yeah, whatever. And it was just garbage. I mean, that just did not look like a nice town.
I just don't even remember
it.
I don't have, like, super negative feelings for Arkansas like I do for Louisiana and I do for Kentucky.
I'm sure there are very nice parts to it.
But even then, I would love to go to, like, New Orleans, even though most of Louisiana...
Oh, New Orleans is wonderful.
I've never been there.
It's one of my favorite places I've ever been.
I've been once. It was a fine city, if you like cities. So we're going to where in Arkansas? What?
So this
the story?
Is in, and I'm probably going to butcher this, Tontatown, Arkansas?
I have no idea.
Never heard of it.
So family's home was raided and the father was arrested for piercing child's ear without a license and for performing body art on a person under 18, which I think
wow.
is funny because people pierce infants. Like you can... I think in some places you can do it in the hospital.
Huh.
They will pierce the ears.
Just like as an add-on.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I see, you know, babies have pierced ears all the time, so I don't really understand that. And
maybe if you pay the government some money, then you're allowed to do it for a license.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe that's the kicker.
I'm just going to guess on this one, and I don't know if the story gets into it, but I'm going to guess this child is old enough to go to government school. They went to school. A teacher noticed that their ears were pierced. They asked them about it, and they essentially, without realizing what they were doing, told on their own parents and got this to happen. That's just my guess. I don't know how
possibly.
Else this could have been possible. Like, what are the odds that the police are going to catch wind of the fact that you just pierced your kid's ears in your own home? I mean, how does that information get into the investigator's hands?
I mean,
in the first
I didn't
place?
Even know that wasn't allowed. Because people do that all the time. I mean, it's a very common thing.
Maybe it's just Arkansas's law.
Yeah, perhaps so.
So, in a shocking display of state overreach and misuse of resources, police in Arkansas barged into a family's home to arrest a father for piercing his son's ear without a license. Jeremy Sherland, 45, from Tontitown, was arrested while his wife and son protested the absurdity of the situation. The video of the incident has since gone viral, exposing the ridiculousness of the entire affair.
Oh, wow, there's video?
I have not seen the video. I was hoping the video would be in this article, but it was not. The video shows Sherlin laughing and scoffing as five police officers forcefully arrest him inside his own home, with him exclaiming, "Body art without a license." His son, the supposed victim in the situation, is heard yelling at the police, "I wanted my ears pierced."
Mm. Wow.
Let's see.
They're just mad because it seems gay to them. Because I was assuming it was a girl until now.
Yeah.
Tennessee just put a law that if you're trans, you can't do a performance if the police deem it lewd.
That law has been put on hold by a federal court.
Okay, but it did get passed, right?
That's just so subjective. I mean, how can you even create a law like that?
It could be something like, there's a law in Arkansas where you can't subject your sons to gay things before 18 or something, and they're just arresting him.
This ludicrous turn of events began when the boy was seen in class, Ian was right, sporting a new piercing in his left ear. Oh no, isn't that the gay side?
Oh, just one. I don't know. I never knew which was the gay side.
I think that's a thing.
But okay, it's just one piercing too?
Yeah. A school resource officer contacted the Tontitown Police Department to conduct a welfare check after the boy allegedly mentioned his father had pierced his ear while intoxicated.
Oh, no.
Which could mean anything. I'm sure, you know, and who cares? You know, who cares what happens? It's just crazy.
It'd be one thing if he was like, and I didn't want my ear pierced.
But he clearly... I mean,
it doesn't say, by the way, I'm looking at the New York Post story here, and I'm not seeing the age of the quote-unquote boy, but I'm guessing he's a teenager. It's just hard to
probably
really tell here.
I mean, and like I mentioned, people pierce their baby's ears, no matter what age he was. And it's not like a tattoo. A piercing, you can just take it out.
It's not a permanent thing. He could take it out himself if he didn't want it.
Exactly. So Sherlin admitted to the act, but refused to let the police speak with his son. Rather than assessing the situation with common sense, the police returned with an arrest warrant, citing Arkansas law that prohibits performing body art on a minor and in an unlicensed facility.
We're going to continue here in moments. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. So another big mistake is he admitted to doing the job. Should have never spoken to these cops when they showed up. Now, did they actually bust in this guy's house? Let's see if we can find the footage. We're coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. House Republicans passed a bill to increase the nation's debt ceiling today while cutting federal government spending. And while that legislation has no prospect of becoming law, GOP leaders hope it will help force negotiations with Democrats. President Biden and Democratic leaders want a clean bill to raise the debt ceiling that has no impact on federal spending. President Biden is insisting his age is not a factor when it comes to running in 2024. Biden, who's 80, said Americans can decide for themselves if they think his age is an issue.
I respect them taking a hard look at it. I take a hard look at it as well. Took a hard look at it before I decided to run. And I feel good. I feel excited about the prospects.
He has vowed to serve an entire 4 years if reelected. Last year was a deadly one when it comes to active shooters. The FBI says there were more casualties from active shooters in 2022 than in the previous 4 years. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. We're talking about a raid, which that word may or may not be applicable here, but the woman of the house, in this case, in Arkansas, is saying the police did bust in the door. Now, in the video footage that I was able to find, it seems to pick up a portion of the way through the police already having entered the premises of this household in Tunnettown, Arkansas, where a father is now facing apparently a felony charge. I don't know.
Felony charge?
Yeah, felony charge. After piercing his son's ear.
How is that a felony charge? Are they calling it assault or something?
No.
Because even that isn't always a felony charge, though.
No, it's just an unlicensed ear piercing. That's all this guy is. I mean, he probably got hit with a resisting arrest. I'm just going to guess based on what I'm seeing in the video here. He does not want to go with these officers.
They said five people. It took five people.
Yeah. They definitely had to manhandle him to get him out of the house. But anyway, the wife presumably does say that they busted in. Now, again, we don't get to actually see that part happen in this video. I couldn't find just the plain, uninterrupted video clip. I keep finding, like, people editing and commenting on it. But it doesn't seem to be very, very lengthy. It's the police entering the gentleman's home, assaulting him, grabbing him, trying to pull him out through the door, him not wanting to go. And then he laughs out loud when they tell him what he's being arrested for, which is unlicensed body piercing, essentially. His son appears to be the one holding the camera.
How old is he?
Based on the voice, I'm going to say he is a teenager. Mm-hmm. The charge in this case has to do with piercing someone under the age of 16, so presumably he's maybe 15 or 14 or something, but he seems to have gone through some level of puberty. Puberty sounds fairly fairly deep-voiced, and that's the situation. We can continue this discussion here, but let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Sean Miller on the line. Sean, where are you calling from here tonight?
I'm from just north of Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. Welcome, Sean. I believe you are one of the co-founders of a new Liberty organization. Is that right?
Yes. I'm the chief executive officer of the Liberty Policy Alliance.
Liberty Policy Alliance. Tell our listeners what that is.
So we're a brand new liberty-oriented nonprofit organization dedicated to advance what we call liberty in our lifetime. We advocate for issues related to constitutional rights, such as constitutional carry, abolishing red flag laws, abolishing civil asset forfeiture, mandatory minimum sentencing, but also some nuanced issues as well. Like one issue that I hope we take on in the future is not just restoring felons, First Amendment, convicted felons who have completed their sentence, their First Amendment, as well as their voting rights,
mm-hmm.
as well as their Second Amendment rights as well.
I know there's some kind of a court case about that. I think in the Supreme Court right now, I believe Matt, our co-host, and your fiance, Nikki, mm-hmm. has been following that one pretty closely. Sean, how do you feel about people piercing their kids' ears without government permission? Should they be able to do that?
I mean, no victim, no crime, right?
Right.
I believe that's where I'm about. I mean, at least in, I saw a story in Colorado this afternoon. They passed the right to repair, which I think is actually a good thing. Finally, farmers don't have to send off their John Deere tractors to John Deere to get it repaired. They can do it themselves.
Right to repair is kind of a weird issue for a libertarian, because as I understand it, for listeners that are unfamiliar, it's kind of a niche issue. But my understanding of right to repair is that it's kind of labeled in a dishonest fashion. So what I mean by that is there's some companies that want to make it difficult to do service on their products, whether it be Tesla mm-hmm. Motors
yep.
or Apple Computer, Compaq Computer. I don't even know if they exist anymore, but they used to. These are companies that they may use very custom tools that the average person doesn't have. Like, you may not be able to just pull out a Phillips head screwdriver and open up this product, whatever it is. You may need to have a custom piece of hardware that you can only get from the manufacturer most of the time in order to do these repairs. And right to repair isn't saying that you don't already have the right to open up your iPhone if you can do it and then replace a screen or whatever. But as I understand it, what it says is that they have to release, like, all of their kind of internal documents, kind of the internal secrets of how these things are put together. Am I wrong about that?
I didn't really understand that part of it.
Am I wrong about that, Sean? Is that... Are you more familiar with this particular bill? Go ahead.
Some of it has to do with releasing the internal schematics, yes, but other parts related to right to repair, it was simply a matter of if these farmers didn't want to spend the exorbitant amount of time, or if you have an iPhone, you wanted to take it to a local repair shop instead of having to go to the Apple store and replace it was a matter of saving people time and money, because oftentimes if I have to go to the Apple store, we'll use the iPhone because that's what I'm calling in from. Oftentimes, it depends on, as well as the wording on the right, on a lot of these right to repair bills, because some can be still lined with a little bit of cronyism, but a lot of it has to do with protecting the IP, which I know libertarians argue about IP all the time, but the point of right to repair is basically the owner of the product doesn't necessarily have to have more than one option. I look at it from a free market perspective. It gives me more than one option if I want to take it in. Yes, I can take it to my iPhone to the Apple store, but I end up paying more than, say, if I were to go to a repair shop that's 5 minutes from my house rather than the...
Well, right to repair isn't, really a big thing that Liberty Policy Alliance is, focused on, right? What are some things that, some policies, since it is called that, that Liberty Policy Alliance is more focused on?
So right now we're more focused on New Hampshire's House Bill 360, which would, I know a lot of libertarians up there are fighting for that one real hard, but we're really focusing on House Bill 360 up there, which would basically, from what I understand, decriminalize possession of marijuana for people 21 and up. Another bill we're looking at is, unfortunately, in the so-called free state of Florida, where it's a hemp protection racket bill, creating barriers to entry to enter the sale of hemp, CBD, and other THC-related products. It would basically price out the average store in, I think it's House Bill 1475 in Florida, where the bill would basically create an unfathomable barrier to entry for smaller THC and hemp stores to enter the market there in Florida. So those are, as far as drug policy, that's what we're looking at. We're pretty happy with Nebraska being the 27th state and to pass Concarry. I apologize to your Florida listeners. I refuse to call their bill Concarry. I'll call it permitless concealed, but I will not call it Concarry.
Yeah, concealed. Well, constitutional carry. The thing they're missing in Florida is they have no open carry rights. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Yep. You have to be either going fishing or have the government's permission, basically, to open carry in the state of Florida.
Yeah, so that's not constitutional carry, then?
Yeah, right. They still just call the bill that. So stupid.
I think it's most accurately termed conditional carry, because you can carry without a license, apparently, in Florida, on the condition that it is carried concealed. Mm-hmm. But if it is carried openly, you're violating the law.
I call it toothless carry, because it basically changes nothing in the bill that wasn't already established outside of removing the permit requirements. And
well, that was a big requirement, I just want to say. I mean, I'm from Florida originally, and I remember when I turned 21, my dad gave me a pistol, and he gave me this huge packet of paperwork from the state.
Yep.
And said, here's what you need to do if you want to get the concealed carry permit. I was like, screw that.
You just didn't get it?
I didn't do it. Well, I also didn't conceal the gun either.
Oh.
I was just like, not even going to... This just wasn't even worth my time. I didn't want to mess with it. I didn't want to have to jump through all the hoops. So getting rid of those hoops for concealed carry is a step in the right direction, but
it
by no means is constitutional carry.
And then also the bill created another criminal database for fingerprinting and whatnot, which is just absolutely there was a lot of stuff in the bill that had absolutely nothing to do with, after reading it, had absolutely nothing to do with guns, let alone permitless carry.
Wow.
So,
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, though, because politicians love doing that, sneaking things in there.
Well, Florida is a big government state. I understand that people love to think about Florida as this free state, which is just marketing that DeSantis has been doing, and it has absolutely nothing to do with reality. Florida's state budget was at a record high last year. It is a huge government that they have, and they just love to grow the police state. They love to make things even bigger. I know Bonnie has a story tonight about DeSantis and his time in Guantanamo Bay and some of the ugly things that he was kind of helping with down there, if not starting against these poor prisoners. But Sean, tell me about the website. What's the website for Liberty Policy Alliance?
So if anybody's interested, they can check us out at www.libertypolicyalliance.org. They can learn about us as an organization, what we stand for, what our beliefs are. There's some nice, beautiful pictures of everybody who's on the staff at the moment. We've got a donation page up. We can go to www.libertypolicyalliance.org/donate. We've got for memberships. Right now we've got bronze, silver, and gold tier memberships for $10 a year. You get for all of our membership options offer access to our private Discord server, where you can talk to us about anything you'd like. Bronze will be offering a free sticker. Silver first before I skip ahead of myself. Silver will be offering either a coffee mug or a beer glass customized with the Liberty Policy Alliance logo. And then gold tier, we'll be offering a custom tumbler once those are once I'm able to order those off of our supplier's website as well. In addition,
I think we still need to give away Liberty Policy Alliance condoms at Porkfest.
Oh my God,
that's funny.
That would help.
That can be arranged.
That's expensive, right?
It can be arranged. It is a, I wouldn't
screen
say
printing.
Common marketing technique, but I've seen it before.
It might be memorable. I don't really know. But, Sean, hey, glad you guys are getting this thing off the ground. I mean, certainly more organizations arguing or advocating for liberty in various places is certainly a good thing. What was it that inspired this Liberty Policy Alliance? Why did you create it?
So my friends and I, we got together. We were seeing friends in the liberty movement that, quite frankly, we weren't liking. I won't be too ill of anybody, but we wanted to branch out. We just wanted to simply branch out on our own. We wanted to create our own thing, create our own stamp. I have a quote on one of my old business cards by Alexis de Tocqueville. History is an art gallery, history gallery of portraits of many copies, but very few originals. And I just, my new organization to be one of the very few originals out there. So a bunch of us decided, hey, let's do our own thing. Let's take what everybody else is doing in the liberty movement, but do it better. Let's not just improve upon it. Let's be better. Let's be the best organization. The best, not just the best liberty organization, but the best organization in the country. And I think with my team of guys and Bonnie here, I have no reason to believe that we can't be a top liberty organization within 3 to 5 years.
All right, Sean, best of luck. Thanks for calling in and sharing your update there with what's going on with the Liberty Policy Alliance. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
That's Sean Miller. He's one of the heads over there at the Liberty Policy Alliance, libertypolicyalliance.org. And Bonnie, you are, I believe, their spokeslady.
Spokesperson, yeah. Well, spokeslady, whatever.
Uh-huh. So congrats to you on that.
Thank you.
Although he did bring up this right to repair, and that is, like I said, it's a tough issue, I think, for libertarians, because you certainly, you know, when you buy a product, you should have complete control over that product.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I bought my iPhone on Amazon. I don't think that I had to, like, sign
a contract
with iPhone.
No.
I mean, I don't think so when I, like, logged into it. I don't know.
I mean, you probably might have.
Like, you know, like.
Because there are, like, some terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have to agree to something. Unfortunately, I did not read it. I just blindly checked it off.
Well, I can tell you what. There's a guy who does phone repair here in Keene, and New Hampshire doesn't have a right to repair bill. I'm sorry, they don't have a right to repair law. I believe there is a bill that is in front of the New Hampshire state reps this year, at least according to repair.org, which is a website that follows these sorts of things. There are, looks like, only 3 states where there are right to repair bills that have passed, and it's New York, Massachusetts, and Colorado, which may give you an indicator of the types of governments that tend to move these things forward, maybe some of the more left-leaning ones. And, you know, I get it from both sides. It's like, on one side, yes, you should have a right to repair, and you do, but do you have a right to the schematics? And credit to Turd and Turd Ferguson in our chat room for remembering that word. I was trying to get it out earlier. But do you have a right to access the company's schematics for the design of these things? And
I would say no.
I don't think you do.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that you can... you know, a free market person should be advocating for using the force of government to tell Apple Computer that you have to be able to get the schematics as a repair shop. So I'm running a repair shop and I'm in New York or Colorado or Massachusetts where they have these right to repair bills, presumably that means I can contact Apple and demand that they hand over the iPhone 11 or whatever the current, I don't know what the current one is, but the current iPhone schematics so I can know how to do the repairs without having to, like, reverse engineer the equipment. I mean, because whenever you have a piece of electronic equipment, there are ways to sort of take them apart and learn what
and
is inside. Like, you can do that. It's a time-consuming operation.
Do you think iPhone, like, adds booby traps? Like, if they just try to fix it themselves, this part will break.
It wouldn't surprise me, knowing how Apple was. I remember in the 90s trying to open up an Apple Macintosh computer, and it was very difficult. Like, there were certain types of screws that the average person just didn't have access to the specific screwdriver that you would need. You'd have to get, like, the Apple developer's kit or something like that to be able to get into it. You'd have to basically be an authorized repair guy. And maybe that's what the guy in Keene is. Maybe he's paid the money to Apple to be authorized for this. Or maybe not. Again, I'm not as intimately familiar with sort of the ins and outs of running a repair shop business, but I have mixed feelings about these bills, and I guess it would ultimately depend on how the bill is written. I have not seen what the proposal is in New Hampshire versus, you know, how that compares to Massachusetts. So if you want,
I think it's Colorado, he mentioned.
Yep, Colorado, Massachusetts, and New York all have the right to repair enshrined in the law. Let's continue here. We have Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian.
What's on your mind?
Sister Bonnie, Sister Nikki, good evening.
I used to think that was like a church thing that he was doing. Now I realize that it's like a white thing, I think. Am I wrong?
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm just wondering.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought it was because we're ministers. Sister.
No, I used to think that, but then somebody told me that Ricky believes in slavery, and he's calls himself a Confederate, something like that.
Okay, that has nothing to do with my topic, but I will address that. Because regardless of what way you look at it, whether it be by evolution or by creation, it doesn't matter. We all brothers and sisters physically, but also spiritually.
Okay.
Well, that sounds nice. I like that.
I thought it meant what I had worried that it meant.
Well, I know it's like everybody loves to pick on Ricky from the Commonwealth, but that's really all it is.
All right. What you got tonight, Ricky?
Well, I'm very concerned, Brother Ian, about this whole, like I said, my topic. I mean, it started a little bit before, but with President Biden and his age, but, you know, it's not just him. That's my concern about how old is too old. And it doesn't stop at just president. You know, it can be anybody in Congress or whatever as far as age. Where does this stop? You open up a big can of worms.
That's a great point because we have the minimum, right? You have to be at least, 35. So you have to be at least 35 years old. But why, if we have a minimum age, why wouldn't there be a maximum age? I mean, I would argue
that the maximum age should be 2 seconds. So therefore, no one can qualify for running for president.
Well, you know what I always say to people? To give an example, I'd be exploiting this. I mean, first of all, Brother Ian, we wouldn't be interested, but yourself and I and Captain Kickass, like when it comes to Generation Z, we may all be too old. I mean, that's the first thing.
Too old for president?
That'd be crazy.
Right. Well,
I mean, they're pretty young.
Or to be elected or whatever. But I always said to people, you know, when you have a job, and you're working for a while, if you ever get at any point asked, and it has nothing to do with your actual job for, you know, a psychiatric evaluation or a competency test at any time, start looking for another job. Because, like, the psychiatric tests are rigged. They got 7 of them, and you're going to lose, you know?
I've never heard of that before.
So what does this have to do with people running for president? Are you saying they should have to take a psych test?
Well, because they already started playing that card with Biden about competency and all that stuff. And it's not just him.
Well, I mean, if people don't want this guy to run for president, why'd they vote for him?
That was my point. I mean, in question, you don't, and who knows if this stuff's even true to the extent with the polls and all that. There are Democrats. Who knows how much of this is even true?
I heard today that Bernie Sanders has already endorsed Joe Biden.
Well, I'm sure.
Right, he's really old, you know.
Well, they're both really old, but I mean the old Bernie Sanders viewpoint was that, you know, Biden wasn't left enough, that he wasn't liberal enough, and so you needed to vote for Bernie in order to send a message and support being truly progressive, etc. And the dude's already sold out. I mean, he's already folded. I don't know if he was planning on running, but he's obviously not.
He probably got told he had to do this because there are those pictures of him at Joe Biden's inauguration. He was pissed. He was, sitting outside in the cold.
Is that
Is that what those pictures are from?
Yeah, he's in, a jacket.
Well, he's totally sold out to the Biden system at this point. So I don't know, Ricky. I just feel like all of this is kind of a pointless exercise because they're not going to be setting a maximum age.
Plus, the thing is, like, I feel like, I mean, it's a government job, so I don't really care. But if I was just, if it had to exist, if the presidency had to exist, I almost would be against maximum age because, I mean, like, Ron Paul is old. But I would take him for president.
That's a great point.
It depends on the state of the person. Well, Joe Biden is old and, like,
there shouldn't be a minimum age, then.
I guess the argument for the minimum age thing is that if you're too young, you just don't have enough life experience to be in a role.
Well, then people shouldn't vote for them, then.
I don't think there should be a minimum age, but it did shock me a little earlier when she said, what is it, 45? And I was like, it's 35. It made me remember learning when I was like a kid that it was 35 was the minimum age. And I remember thinking that was old.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show and you can bring up anything. I did pull up the right to repair bill here in New Hampshire. At least it is the right to repair home appliances. And the summary of it says the bill requires home appliance manufacturers, so, you know, washers, dryers, dishwashers, things like that, to make available to appliance owners and repair providers certain repair-related documentation, parts, and tools.
Hmm.
The failure to do so would be a violation of the Consumer Protection Act.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
I don't know if I can.
And one of the co-sponsors is a Free Stater.
Who?
Berhesny from Grafton, Lex Berhesny.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I would love to have him, you know, explain why this is a bill that a libertarian would have signed on to. I mean, it just seems like, can't the market solve this problem?
I mean, forcing a company to provide tools even, I mean, that's just really not libertarian.
No,
well, I'm wondering if that maybe was previously, like, standard protocol, like, before you'd buy a car and it would give you basic instructions on how to change the oil.
Yeah, the
user's manual. I'm wondering if that was standard protocol before and now it's not, and they're kind of trying to go back to that. I don't know.
It shouldn't be mandated either way. I think it'd be a good idea. Like, I don't know.
Let some companies make the decision to do it. Some companies do. Some companies, you can go on their website, you can get the schematics from them, and they haven't been forced to provide those, and let the market decide to not support those companies that are locking them down. I don't think we need the government to get involved in this. But there's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.